Pro Savings Days are back at Lowe's. MyLowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by ESPN. Catch the first WWE Premium live event on ESPN, WrestlePalooza, live on Saturday, September 20th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. It's going to be an epic night in Indianapolis, featuring some of the biggest WWE superstars. This event is only on ESPN, so go to stream.espn.com and sign up to the ESPN app today for your all-access pass to WrestlePalooza and all WWE Premium live events.
Race the rudder! Raise the sails! Raise the sails!
Captain, an unidentified ship is approaching. Over.
Roger. Wait, is that an Enterprise sales solution?
Reach sales professionals, not professional sailors. With LinkedIn ads, you can target the right people by industry, job title, and more. Start converting your B2B audience today. Spend $250 on your first campaign and get a free $250 credit for the next one. Get started today at linkedin.com/campaign. Terms and conditions apply.
If you thought goldenly breaded McDonald's chicken couldn't get more golden, think golder, because new sweet and smoky special edition gold sauce is here. Made for your chicken favorites at participating McDonald's for a limited time.
Hi, this is Tony Ruggiero here on the Tour Coach Podcast, where we bring you the best mental coaches, fitness experts, teachers, players, everything from my journey in the game of golf to help you learn to play better golf, teach better golf, and enjoy the game. Come on in. We're going to have some fun. All right, so joining me here on the Tour Coach, we're doing another one of those flashbacks, if you will, back to the early days of PGA Tour Radio when Wayno was on with me a bunch there on the Dew Sweepers Golf Show. And obviously, Wayne and I's longtime mentor, Hank Johnson, had his own segment. Only guy I know had his own segment. he just got grandfathered in. He came on every week. But he had some great stuff. And our buddy Ralph Carroll, who produced that show, found a bunch of these old segments. And every now and then we pull one of them out and we kind of put a fresh look on it and then play the old segment after this. But this one I thought was great for just any, you know, especially for the recreational golfers day to day learning to play better golf, the guy trying to break 190-80. It's called Empty Cup, and it's really about, to me, you know, he did a bunch of these Wayno segments on kind of how to take a golf lesson, how to get more out of it, and having to work for him. I'm sure it's a little bit because he was getting pissed off at the people coming to take his golf lessons. Right. But you obviously, you and I were around him a long time, and we always give him credit. If you don't mind, start. The theme of this is the empty cup, and really what there were four cups in this segment, four different types of students that come to you. And I think this can help golfers out there. And then Connor will ask you for some opinions and stuff based on what you see, because you teach obviously a lot of beginner, intermediate type recreational golfers. So Wayno, talk for a second a little bit about what you took from this segment, and then we'll go right into the four different types of cups.
Okay, T. Hank was very diligent about trying to get his people better. He cared, you know, and I think you and I learned a lot of that from him. And I learned it from Bob Toski as well. I mean, those old guys that were in that original group of guys that I was lucky enough to be around, they really, really cared that their students came out of a golf lesson better. And they took that very personal. And they strapped that on like a weight around their neck. I mean, they really wanted people to come. They wanted to experience what good golf instruction, what it was and what it was all about. And they took it very seriously when once in a while a golf lesson didn't work, and they took it seriously enough to, you know, at the end of the day, kind of like you and I do a lot. We talk a lot on the way into work, and we talk a lot on the way home from work, you know, how'd your day go? Well, I gave a few good golf lessons today. I don't really think I was that great. You know, I mean, we share those feelings with each other pretty honestly. And, you know, we talk a lot, and it always ends up back to, you know, how did our students do? You know, what are we doing for our students to try to make them better, to grow our brand and grow our team concept that, you know, you and I've talked about for years now. And, you know, it's just, you know, if you can keep that first and foremost in your mind, as whether you're a good teacher or not, based on how did your students perform and, you know, how is their legacy going? You know, are they getting better? Are they moving up the ranks in their club level golf, or are they moving up the ranks on their high school team, or whatever the case may be? You know, I think they took it very seriously back in the day. And, you know, Hank was such a great speaker, right? And and very eloquent when he would talk. And he thought, he was a big thinker. Obviously, you and we drank a bunch of cups about watching him take a million notes. We talk about those notebooks all the time, don't we? Because there's some solid gold that was written on those pages. Yeah, and, you know, but again, we sat there and watched him and how meticulous he was at trying to gather as much information as he could to make, you know, to make his brand and his lesson taking business to make it as good as he could possibly make it.
Right.
Well, I think you and I have tried to do that exact thing.
Yeah. So the first, so basically what he lays out in this segment, which if you enjoy this, after we get done talking here in a few minutes, we're going to play the original interview. And I think it's fantastic. But the first cup, and we get these students all the time, is a full cup. And that's where the person, and I think it's, you know, this was in 2003 or four or five, probably. The internet wasn't anywhere, and social media wasn't even really a thing then yet. So this is even more applicable now than it was then. This is one of those things that I think has gained importance. And that was the person that is a full cup. And he tells the story about a martial arts kid that goes to see this martial arts expert, and the guy, you know, he tells the master basically, like, I don't have anything to, you know, I already know I can't do this, you can't do this, or whatever. And the master walks away, and the kid's like, well, where are you going? And he said, I'll come back when your cup is empty. Right. And the whole point is that if you can't put any information into anything new into a full cup. And he starts with the full cup, which is the student that comes to you. I think there's more than ever where they've already got tons of ideas on theory in their head. They've tried all these things on social media, and they basically have no room for info because they're dead set and determined that they already know everything from all the information that they find on social media, or they find on the internet, or they've read in Golf Digest, or they've read in Golf Magazine, those types of things. I mean, I know, we'll start with you, Wayne, then we'll go to Connor. You certainly see that, right? And I think you probably see it more every day on the tee there at Highland and at Bluebell than we used to. How do you deal with that?
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin at 16 weeks. And most of those people maintain skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with
with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILLY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
Well, I think, you know, Tony, I think we see it more every day, and we see it with all kinds of golfers, from your beginning golfers who really don't even know how to hold a golf club. They still have preconceived ideas because they've all, you know, they've all surfed the internet, all the way through your juniors to your high school players, your club level players. And you certainly see it when you get into the professional ranks, because there's so much great information out there. You and I talk about it in almost every segment we do, how much great ways to measure and data and all the stuff that's out there. But if we're really trying to make people better, you know, you and I always try to go find the one thing that we think can make the biggest impact in those people. But you got to get all the stuff knocked out of that cup that they believe they think is right. And, you know, that's why I started a number of years ago with my first lesson. You know, everybody talks about it and everybody makes fun of it a little bit, but I definitely immediately try to get my student and myself on the same page of the, you know, the 5, 6, 7 things that I think are really, really important in golf. And I try to get their cup emptied out, kind of shined up a little, if you will. I know you're going to talk about that in a minute, cleaned up a little. And I try to get the stuff that's in their cup to be the 7 things that I think are really, really important to getting better at golf. Once I get the student on the same page as that, we can usually start making some pretty quick progress, because now we're all playing the same game by the same rules.
Yeah, you're on the same page. I think that's very critical for somebody really wanting to get better. Connor, talk a little bit about you. How do you handle that? You're at the beginning stages of your teaching career, so I think this will be interesting, because you've had less experience with it than Wayne or myself. Wayne and I probably are just a little meaner, to be honest, and don't put up with it as much. But how much do you see it, and how do you handle it?
Yeah, I see it. I want to talk about it from like a junior perspective. I think a lot of young juniors, maybe 12 to 17 years old, come in with this idea of a full cup. And for them, it's challenging their idea and making them show me how they think it should be done, and then giving them a task of how I think it should be done, and seeing, letting them kind of make that decision for themselves. I think it's really hard for me at my stage in my career to just, I can't force the opinion or bully someone into kind of what I think they should be doing. But I can challenge them certainly, and then let the result speak for itself in the lesson and outside the lesson.
All right. So the second cup is a cup with a hole in the bottom, right? And that is the cup which is like a golf lesson, where you give them the information, but they really don't make any effort to absorb. Either they're not paying attention, or they're too busy trying to talk to you and tell you why things won't work instead of actually listening. And the information in the lesson basically goes in one ear and out the other. And as HJ says, I think basically they're wasting a big chunk of their hour or two that they're paying for by letting the information go straight through, because they got a cup with a hole in it. Wayno, talk a little bit about that. And how do we help folks with that?
Well, you know, I think, Tony, again, that's where I recommit to the things that I want them to have in their cup. And, you know, there's an old saying in a great golf instruction book that says that the student, when they hear new information, they're trying to execute it in their comfortable manner, if you will, the way they feel like it should be executed. And maybe it's not executed with the precision that we might want it, or in the sequence that we might want it done. So I think at that point you have to, you know, get them recommitted.
I mean, you can't be afraid to let them fail their way into doing the right thing. I mean, you've done it with me.
I think the other thing that's really important with this, and great to have Wayno back on, is that, and I think Wayno was kind of going there, is that people, they go into a lesson and they know they need to make a change, but they want it to be comfortable and feel like what they've always done. Right. Yeah. And, you know, I learned this from Hank, but he used to say people confuse comfort with correct all the time. And they assume that if it doesn't feel good, they're not doing the right thing. And all that means is you've probably not done it. And Wayne, I've watched you in a zillion lessons over the years, and I've watched you slow people down. And Connor, to be honest, this is where you got to get better at. Wayne and I were talking about you the other day on the phone. Like, when the lesson starts spiraling, you've got to be able to slow them down and help them understand that they're probably not going to be comfortable. Wayne, you agree with that?
I do, Tony. That's what I think I was saying before. I just clicked off. I'm sorry. But
no, that's all right.
The people are trying to execute the new stuff in a comfortable way that they're accustomed to. And you've got to slow them down, and you've got to teach them to do it correctly, even if they miss the ball. I mean, you know, I know that sounds crazy. None of us want to see our student ever miss a ball. But you have to learn to do these things, even if you miss the ball, until you learn to do it and no longer miss the ball. And that's when you start, you know, breaking through to the right sequences and things like that that allow fundamentals to work in line with each other. But you have to be willing, as a student, you have to be willing to be a little uncomfortable. And the thing that I see more than anything is people not wanting to back off their speed any. They want to learn, and they want to learn it at 110 miles an hour. Man, they can't do it at 2 miles an hour, you know, and they have to back them down. And that's our job. If it's not going well, you'll see me just go stand right on the ball. And the people are looking at me like, get out of my way. I want to hit another ball. Well, I just stand there and tell them a story about something, but I'm not going to let them continue to run the lesson and continue to spiral themselves out of control just because they're uncomfortable. And then I may take the club out of their hands and help them put their hands back on the club correctly and get the ball on a good lie and get them back in their station and then tell them, hit me a little chip off the front of the tee and see if we can't find the ball correctly a little bit slower, and then start to rebuild the process of getting the fundamentals in line. You know, the things that I'm trying to change in the person's swing, whatever they may be. And that's the hard part. And we as instructors, you just back off of that just so the student has fun, because they're not going to get better. Right? You know, our job, I want them to have fun, trust me, more than anybody, but I really want them to get better more than I want them to have fun. That matters to me more, because I know if they get better and they hit it better and they score better, they're ultimately going to have a whole lot more fun.
Third cup, dirty cup. When Hank said this, I laughed. I didn't know where the hell he was going with this for a minute. He said, you can't show up with a dirty cup. I said, hey, what are we talking about here? But anyways, and he talked about it as it being contaminated. And I think where he was going, and as I listened to it, was, you know, again, I think there's a little bit of this. It's kind of tied up with the, you know, the full of theory. But these are people that have misconceptions about either what they're doing. I'll use, for example, a guy that thinks he's over the top when he's way into out. I think the dirty cup stuff, to me, is actually a little easier to combat now with all of the technology we have, because you can use a TrackMan, you can use a quad, you can use a force plate and show them and prove they're not doing what they're doing. And that's why I think it's so important to stay up to date on the stuff that's going out there as a teacher. But talk about dirty cup, Wayno and Connor.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you.
Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Well, I mean, I couldn't agree more. You know, I still film golf swings, and I use, you know, I've got a launch monitor and a force plate and all that stuff. I use all those things, but you know, sometimes you just film a swing correctly and put it on and, you know, draw a plane line or draw, you know, a ball position line, yep, or whatever. And it is what it is, right? And it, you can kind of debunk some of those theories of what's really happening. And, you know, a lot of times people will say to me, they'll say, well, it doesn't feel anything like I'm too far in to out. And then I'll just point at the computer screen and they'll say, oh, I know, I'm not saying you're wrong, I'm just saying what it feels like. And yep, that's when I'll say something like, well, let's first understand exactly what we're dealing with, and then let's learn to do it correctly so you can learn to start feeling what it is we want to feel. Because right now, mm-hmm, you're really not feeling anything other than comfort. You know, let's try to do something right. And so you can start learning to feel what correct feels like, or what aim feels like. What does it look like to them?
Connor, how do you deal with people that come in with a dirty cup, contaminated, misconceptions? I mean, I think all of these cups tied together, really. And I think one reason Wayne's had so much success in his teaching career is his ability to start with a student by explaining the things that he thinks are important in their golf swing and get them on the same page, and then the ability to slow them down, which I think if people are listening, really wanting to get better from a golf lesson, that would be the theme of this whole thing. How do you handle that?
Yeah, most beginners, yeah, I mean, I think they don't really understand how the ball, you know, how to get the ball in the air, that the face affects where the ball goes, the path affects where the ball goes, and that you got to hit the ball in the grass in front of the ball. And I think a lot of, you know, the misconception is you got to get under the ball and lean and lift it for beginners. And so, I mean, I just have a couple different ways that I go about explaining to them that that's not the case. And it's not that much harder than that most of the time.
All right, so last one here is really the ideal. It's what we're looking for as teachers, and really what's the most beneficial. Kind of goes back to that, you know, to the martial arts person. You want an empty, clean cup with no leaks in it, is what HJ called it. That's your fourth cup, your sports ice cup, right? You know, and again, what he meant by empty, I think, is, you know, you come willing where there is room for new information. It's clean, not contaminated. You're not automatically predisposed to say, that shit won't work for me. That's not going to work. No way that'll work. And no leaks, right? And not where they kind of listening to you, but half listening. And then they get over the ball and you ask them how that feel. And they go, well, I was actually trying something different, right? I mean, we get that all the time. So I'm going to flip this to you, Wino. Let's go to you to start. Again, I mean, talk a little bit about what's the ideal student and their ideal cup situation here and the importance of showing up like that.
Well, I think my students, I strive to get them to the empty, cleanest cup full of my information that I want them to understand. And I talk to them all the time about trying to use the same verbiage back and forth to each other. And I try to tell them that that's really in their best interest, because the minute they hit a bad shot, they shouldn't have to just call me and say, oh God, I hit a high slice today, what did I do wrong? You know, I want them to be able to put two and two together for themselves and, you know, kind of stand on their own two feet, understanding their golf swing and how it fits to a fundamentally good golf swing, if you will, and where their tendencies are and where their problems can be. And the quicker they can grasp that and come back to me after lessons 2-3 weeks later, still with the same cup, with the same information. And,
that's all,
you know,
right there.
The faster I can get them coming back to me, and every once in a while they'll come back and they say, well, I did this and this and this, and I know Robbie Shelton was one of the best you ever had at that. You know, he would come back after 2 months and he'd be working on the same one thing that
amazing.
You worked on.
The best
you and I could talk you and I talk about that all the time. And I strive to get my people coming back with the one or two things that they left me with at the last session. And it's after a little bit of time, they start to come back with the same thing in mind. And, you know, you'll really know you're getting somewhere with them when they'll come back and they'll say, hey, I read something the other day and it said this. What do you think about that? Before they have practiced it for three weeks. And me saying, well, that really doesn't fit. That doesn't fit what we're trying to do. And here's why. You know, so when I can get my students asking me some really good questions like that, it's really easier to keep their cup clean and full of the information that we want it to be full of. And you know, let them have fun watching, you know, golf swings on YouTube or reading golf magazines. All that stuff is great entertainment. Golf Channel's great fun. But you don't have to try to do it all. You know, you want to enjoy it because that's the fun of the game. But in order to get yourself better, you got to be committed to your one full clean cup of good information that fits your game and your issues.
Connor, what's your ideal student?
Yeah, I mean, the same thing, you know, Wayne says, I think you've got to help them find an empathy. I don't think anybody comes to a golf lesson and wants to be wrong or prove you wrong. Like, I think everybody wants to come and get better. And Wayne's taught me this a bunch, but like you can help them get better by emptying their cup and using the same language. And yeah, no. And like giving them an opportunity to embrace the one thing, embrace what it means to get better instead of filling them with a bunch of stuff that they don't need.
And I think that's the key. And I mean, I learned this from H and from Wayne, but it's like simplicity is beautiful and important. The more you can keep it simple, going back to Woody, his old golf lesson of you shouldn't leave a golf lesson with more than you could write down on one index, 3x5 index card. And I've carried that everywhere I go. And I think if you can go to a golf lesson and you go with an empty, clean cup and you leave with one or two things, and then like Wayne says, you leave and you understand and know how to work on it slow, where you can develop a feel and you can learn to do it. And then you stick with it and you've had three or five lessons down the road with Wayne, where each time you're building and developing the ability to further do it, you got a great chance to get better at this game.
You know, Tony, I always laugh, and I know HJ got you with it one time. And I remember early, you know, maybe the first 6 months I'd worked with him or for him, or, you know, when I was trying to learn, I didn't know what to do, right? I was trying to learn everything. And he came up and watched me give one of my first lessons. And, man, you know, I got nervous and everything, right? And he got done with it, and he said, Wayne, that was fantastic. I've never seen a teacher tell a student everything they know about the golf swing and learning golf in 3 minutes. You did a great job at that. And I was trying to fill the student full of so much information because I just felt like I didn't know what to do, right? So he helped me by kidding me, and then he challenged me by learning how to use the better verbiage and use the right words and, you know, pick my battles, if you will, of the words one matter. Or two things that I wanted to try to teach, you know. So, you know, he would do it funny sometimes. He would do it brutally honest sometimes, but all of it was an effort to, you know, to make us better. And he, you know, he saw things all the time that he thought we could do that we didn't have any idea we could do, but he helped us pull those things out of ourselves, you know. And that's why he was such a good mentor to all of us, you know, all the guys that have been involved with him.
Wayno, Connor, awesome stuff. Thanks for taking the time. If you're listening to this, it's going to roll right after. It's the original segment from PGA Tour Radio, Sirius XM, that on the Dew Sweepers Golf Show with On the Tee with Hank Johnson that Hank and I did some years ago. It's great info, great insight. Guys, thanks for sitting in. We'll look forward to going to do another one of these here in the next couple weeks.
Thanks, T.
Sounds great, T. Thanks a lot.